Welcome, everyone, to RB1 : Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am the consummate professional, first ranking officer of the Terry McLaurin Stan Club, constant doubter of Alvin Kamara, and BFFs with the Oracle, your humble host, Pete Rogers. And I am joined by some of the guys today. We have the Duck Father, recovering Texans fan, foreteller of Devontae Parker's breakout and caster of the double reverse chutzpah, resident old man Clark Barnes, and fantasy football's premier internet doctor, loather of Adam Gase, sub-lieutenant of the SS Deshaun Jackson, and thinks your favorite team is run by donkeys, the ginger beards growing back man, Nick Botifer. Guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Pete.
Good, Pete. How are you?
I am doing well, running on a little bit low sleep. It's been a little bit exciting here. The last two mornings, Bert woke up around 4 a.m. vomiting. So we've been taking care of that in our mornings, which has been a little sleep deprivation. Luckily, my parents are here to tell me that this is exactly what raising a child is like and that we have to look forward to that as well. So just
except if you fuck up with the kid, they'll remember it.
Yes, that is like the fundamental difference that both Becca and I are terrified of. It's like with a dog, there's, you know, it's basically like you can tell it no and do all these things and it'll be fine because it'll unconditionally love you forever. And it's like with a kid, you have to navigate this whole resentment in the teenage years and possibly further on. So
what's going on, Bert? What happened?
We don't know. We're not entirely sure. He's just been... I think it's so up at the cabin, he's just had a lot more free space to like roam. And so I think he's just getting into shit and eating it and doesn't understand that it upsets his stomach. So, so we've been very conscious of what he's been consuming outside and giving him more regular meals. We gave him breakfast and dinner and now we're giving him a night snack because sometimes dogs throw up when they're hungry in the morning. It's still kind of unsure is exactly what the issue is, but hopefully tonight we will be able to sleep in and he won't wake us with a pile of vomit to clean up.
So first I thought you were going to say that he just has more things to do and he's so excited that he's throwing up. But
not also entirely possible.
So George does the same thing. If his stomach's empty, he'll puke and it's yellow. So if it's yellow, that's bile. And that means that he needs food. So we give him snacks throughout the day because damn guy's going to puke in his crate.
Yeah. And so that's the morning. We freaked out a couple nights ago because the fact that the bile turned red, which was just supposed to be like kind of throat aggravation, said the vet. Anyways, Clark's giving us the sign that...
And speaking of bile turning red, how about those Jets against the Bills this weekend?
Welcome to RB1 : Fantasy Dog Podcast. Yeah, we've got a lot to get to this Tuesday show. We are going to talk waiver wire ads. And we are going to introduce a new segment we're going to do each week, the Panic Index, where we're going to talk about... A player who maybe the general fantasy community is feeling a little bit worried about, and whether or not we are also worried about them, or maybe we are going to delay our worry. But of course, before we get into those things, we are going to start with the news. And as the news often becomes when the season begins and gets going, it's really just a rundown of injuries. Most notably, Marlon Mack is out for the season. He tore his Achilles as the Colts were beaten by the Jaguars and a little bit of an upset there. Obviously, and it's now come out that Jonathan Taylor will be the starter and will be stepping into that huge role. Chances are Jonathan Taylor is taken in your league if you didn't draft him. So there's nothing really to come there. But Nyheim Hines is likely available in your league and should be 100% added. He had a big game for the Colts when Mack was out. He scored 2 touchdowns, 1 on the ground, 1 through the air, and was their leading receiver with 8 catches. Clark, we've talked about Nyheim Hines plenty of times on this show. Are you buying into this Colts backfield now that it's a little bit evener without Mack?
Yeah, I was all over Mack because he is fine. He is a totally fine running back playing for a really smart coach and a quarterback who loves to throw to the running backs. With Mack out, we saw all the things that we had hoped for Nyheim Hines for the past 2 years actually did them. Incredibly quick. He got the ball a ton, which is a little worrisome for someone that size, but you just ride it until there is an injury, or, you know, you hope that he doesn't have one. But Hines is for real. He is extremely talented, and Philip Rivers is going to throw him the ball. So if you are at all desperate for running back, absolutely go spend fab on Hines. This is not a fluke, and Taylor showed that he may be really good, but he is not ready for the full workload yet. So Hines is absolutely a thing.
So I've never been a fan of Nyheim Hines because I just don't think he's very good. But Philip Rivers, I was always a Jordan Wilkins guy back in the day, but wrong.
I was wrong about Wilkins. Nick Butterford admitting a wrong? What is
this? I was wrong about Wilkins, not about Hines. What I see from Hines, I mean, it's just when you have like the game's, I don't know, best check down.
Right.
Like not like captain check down, like can't do other things, just guy who loves to pepper the running backs to targets. He's just going to make Hines work as a PPR back, so we should add him. But I just a moment of lamenting Marlon Mack. Like, we absolutely loved him here, and in a lot of drafters used him as, like, a late-round running back, too, who went wide receiver heavy early. And what's it's just so tragic is he was, like, the unquestioned bell cow until went out.
We were right. When we said don't draft Jonathan Taylor, we were right, because it was Marlon Mack's backfield, and then his Achilles snapped.
Taylor, I don't think he got his first touch until halfway through the second quarter. And what I did really like to see with Jonathan Taylor is he got 6 targets, which we've talked about. Like, he is a really he's a really bad pass catcher, and But the point is, if you just get – it's very similar to Leonard Fournette last year. If you just get a ton of targets, you're going to catch some of them, and it's going to raise your floor or raise your ceiling. So, if Rivers is just like, yeah, I don't care who's back there, I'm going to throw it to him, then I have ranked Taylor this week. He will be, I think, the RB12.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to step into a big workload. And we saw the passing game was something that he was involved in a little bit. But for me personally, if you are looking to spend your fab somewhere this week, it is Nyheim Hines. I think he's the number one guy you should be going to get off waivers because of what we saw with Austin Eckler last year, where Philip Rivers can't scramble out of the pocket. And so what he does is he just checks it down, and Nyheim Hines will be that guy. Moving on in the news, other injuries. The tight end position took a minor hit this this week. Blake Jarwin out for the season with a torn ACL. And the Browns put David Njoku on IR. It's a three. I think he's supposed to miss 3 weeks with a bruised MCL or a sprained MCL. So he will be back, but that is that's two tight ends who were expected to have some fantasy production and value this year who are now off the table. If you're looking to replace them, might I humbly suggest a little bit of Dallas Goedert, who led the Eagles in receptions, targets, and yards in the first game and was the clear tight end one over Zach Ertz. And that relationship between the Eagles and Zach Ertz looks tenuous at best. And so who knows how long Zach Ertz might be on the Eagles anymore. And so getting a piece of Dallas Goedert right now, this will probably be your last chance to get him. So if you just got hit at the tight end position and you don't necessarily want to stream, Dallas Goedert would be my target.
Yeah, and I think while we're mentioning tight end targets, I think O.J. Howard looked really good and looked to be more of the receiver tight end in two tight end sets because Gronk is really good at blocking. So that's no insult to him. He's probably
Gronk
a better receiver too.
Did not look like he could run that well. So
yeah, so O.J. Howard got a lot of work. The Goedert in in Philadelphia thing is tough. I don't know if we're going to do game by game, so I'm just going to try to work it in. Washington's front, there weren't a ton of things that I was surprised by. I watched all the games. Washington's front seven is really good, and that dictated a lot of what the Eagles were able to do. So we may be seeing a bit of an anomaly with the tight ends being targeted so heavily because Carson Wentz had no time all day. Having said that, those two tight ends are probably their best all-around wide receivers. So it shouldn't swing wildly, but Washington was really impressive against, granted, a beat up Eagles front.
So I have to issue an apology to my significant other who I advised to drop Dallas Goedert 20 minutes before kickoff because I'm thinking through their offensive line and I'm like, wait a second, they're going to have to ask Goddard to block like all day long to negate the Washington. Yeah. That's why, right. Yeah. It's Carson Wentz took 8 sacks.
Carson Wentz got rocked.
Yeah.
Killed.
Well, it's okay. She has Chris Herndon, right? So that's two catches.
Didn't make the decision
on her own, but I felt really bad being like, this is why, just so you know, I think you should think about this. Here's a couple
of anytime Becca comes to me and she's like, look, help me set my lineup. And I'm just like, no. I cannot do this because if it comes back to bite you, it will be my fault. And I will not take that blame.
Yeah, I did. I gave her like a number of tight ends. It was like, go do your research and you decide which one of these you want to add.
Dropping Goddard for Herndon. That's good.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. And also Jordan's not here, but pour a little bit out for Jordan's Blake Jarwin hype. Since that didn't even
look good. Nick's Blake Jarwin hype.
Everyone's Blake Jarwin hype, I guess.
Everyone's. Yeah.
Damn.
Jarwin.
Oh yeah. There it is.
What's his name? The backup. You should keep an eye on him because the Cowboys offense kind of depends on the tight end getting a few grabs. So if you're in a deeper league, forget his name. You can Google
it. It's not Blake Bell, is it? That's who's on the depth chart. But no, I think Nick Quinn.
I do think that's
information.
I will talk while you guys look that up.
Okay.
I think that this is a really interesting conversation because I just get the impression that CeeDee Lamb is going to be the guy who kind of benefits.
Schultz.
There you go.
I saw them trying to chuck targets at whoever the backup was, and it just didn't look like he was any good. So yeah, how are you guys handling that? If you had Jarwin, are you going after the next tight end, or hoping, you know, you can stash CeeDee Lamb and flex him?
No, if you're, in my opinion, if you were going with Jarwin, you went hyper late on tight end, understanding that you were going to need to pick someone up in stream. If I was in like a 16 team league, I would keep an eye out for Schultz because the Cowboys just like to run with a tight end because of what it does, one for Dak, giving him a check down, and what it does for the running game. I think that the real offensive production is going to go, or hopefully will go, to CeeDee Lamb. Cowboys looked pretty good against the Rams. One of the things I was surprised with is I think that the Rams are back. Their defense looks really good. Aaron Donald absolutely wrecked that game against
monster.
A decent Cowboys front line. I think that's where the value is. I think Dak's going to have a little bit more time, and the Cowboys are going to look a little bit better when they're not playing against otherworldly defensive tackles.
Yeah. If I were Blake Jarwin manager, if I had him on my roster and he just got injured, I think I would just stream the tight end position.
Lots of great options. Jack Doyle got a couple of targets.
Me some Jack Doyle. All right. Finally in the news, just a little checking in on some big name guys. George Kittle, I know, left Sunday's game for a little bit of time. It says that he now has a knee sprain, which will be something to monitor. It doesn't seem like it will keep him out of week two, but that's certainly something to take note of as the 49ers do need at least someone to catch the ball from Jimmy G. And then Michael Thomas had a high ankle sprain against the Buccaneers, which is, as our doctor, resident internet doctor, will tell us, that's a hard thing for a wide receiver to play with for the rest of the year.
Yeah, high ankle sprains can be up to like 6 weeks missed. He's being talked about as potentially even playing this week, and I think theoretically, from what I understand, theoretically he can. It doesn't mean he's going to be able to cut, though. So I mean, Emmanuel Sanders might be a big time add.
Yeah. So if anyone was going to cut. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. If anyone was going to
Thomas Byrne,
Anquan Boldin play with a broken face and still perform, I think Michael Thomas is one of the people that would do that. But I think with the Saints getting a win and with their depth, if I'm coaching the Saints, I'm keeping Mike Thomas out until we are 2-2 or something horrible like that, because they should be playing for the long run. And so I don't know how much value that gives people that have Michael Thomas, but if I have a good play opposite of Michael Thomas, I might just go ahead and put him in this week, because why would you ask him to do so much when you're off to a 1-0 start?
Especially with Alvin Kamara looking pretty silky smooth out there.
Well, Nick mentioned Emmanuel Sanders too. I mean, a mm-hmm. legitimate number one wide receiver who is just incredibly gifted. And then the Saints have Peyton was just feeling himself yesterday. He was having so much fun playing all these zany, wacky formations in place that worked. And so, I mean, they got plenty of people to let Michael Thomas rest.
Yeah, to your point, Clark, they only got to go knock down the Raiders. So I don't think that's a matchup where you're going to need to roll Thomas out there.
Cool beans. Well, there you go for the news. And now we're going to get into our new segment that we're going to do every week on the Tuesday show, our panic index. And we will we'll find some amazing drop in post-production to put it here. But talking about a player who we are feeling like didn't put up a really the stat line we expected them to in the past week, and whether or not we are terrified or we're going to help those who have them feel better about it. And I will start us off as someone who both rosters this player, and I made the mistake of doing it again. I did it last year. I'm doing it again because I just talked myself into it and I could not do it. I bought into the Browns offense again, you guys, with Odell Beckham. And he did not come through in week one. He did have 10 targets, but only caught 3 of them for 22 yards. Now, the thing that scares me the most about this, because this panic index is real. I am high on the panic index. So Mike Taglieri from Fantasy Pros tweeted this out. He said he went through and rewatched all of Odell's targets in week one. He's still the same player as always. Baker Mayfield's accuracy was horrendous. This could have easily been a 100-plus yard game for OBJ versus a tough secondary. You can always see the frustration. This terrifies me. It terrifies me that Odell is going to be rendered useless by Baker Mayfield and the entire Browns ethos of just like sucking and being unable to achieve any kind of greatness. So I'm going to hold on to Odell for a little bit of time to see if things can remedy themselves in year two. But shit, I feel like I'm going to, like, this is, I feel like I'm Groundhog Day all over again. And I'm going to have to trade Odell in like week 3 or week 4 to try to save face.
Pete, I'm going to try and talk you off the ledge here. The Browns played the Ravens, who are an incredibly good football team. We had a lot of divisional matchups this weekend. And so while there were some high scoring games, I think a lot of teams ended up playing those knockdown, drag out divisional matchups that always surprise the heck out of us during the middle of the season. So yeah, things looked bad for the Browns. Jarvis Landry was getting all of the targets, but I think Jarvis Landry was getting all the targets because he was a good second option to a Browns team that was just getting killed. Now if the Browns go and lay an egg in week 2 again, well, then I'm not going to think it was just the Ravens. But I think the Ravens are really good, and they beat a mediocre Browns team. So don't jump just yet.
That's true. The Browns are playing the Bengals next week.
All right. So far, hold on. Pete, you stole my Mike Taglieri reference that I was going to try to turn your opinion around with, and now you're talking about their schedule, so I'm just going to have to get in here and
it's gotta find get something in here. To say.
Yeah. Okay. So... last week I have a share or two of Odell, and I benched him for Hollywood, and I felt really good about that. To Clark's point, the Ravens defense is just outstanding. They control the clock well on offense, rushing the football. The one thing I thought, okay, maybe Odell could get loose, just with them losing free safety Earl Thomas to start the season. But you know, that just wasn't the case. Their secondary is too strong. The Cincinnati Bengals, it's just a trash heap on defense. And another thing to consider is that they're implementing a new system on 2 weeks of practice. That's really difficult to do. They finally had some live fire practice against the Ravens. This is another divisional game coming up in week 2. I will be putting Odell right back in my lineup. After that, Washington now is kind of scary with their D-line, but the Browns, the thing they invested in after their idiot previous GM nuked their offensive line is their O-line. Like they boosted up their offensive line. I'm not afraid of Washington's secondary. After that, Dallas, that did not really look like a world beating defense there. So I'm hopeful that what we have here is sort of a matchup dependent wide receiver two who can have these huge boom weeks with his, you know, game breaking speed.
Thank you both. I appreciate what you've done for me. Clark, who you got for the panic index this week?
So mine's a don't panic, and I hope this isn't too much of a softball, but DJ Chark, who I expect to finish the season as a top 12 wide receiver, even on a, you know, relatively pedestrian offense. He ended up getting a touchdown, but only had on the box sheet a couple of targets and a couple of catches. But what we saw from the Jaguars that Gardner Minshew is taking a huge step forward in his second year, being a really game manager plus, which I think is like you want that out of your second year quarterback. You don't want him trying to do everything unless they're Lamar Jackson and Minshew's not. So the Jaguars actually looked like they had a really functional offense. And despite them matriculating the ball down the field, very smartly running and passing, they still took a couple of shots to DJ Chark. He drew a pass interference on one. And so, you know, that Gardner Minshew understands part of this offense is, hey, DJ Chark's one-on-one. I'm just going to chuck it up to him. Chark looked fast. The rest of the Jaguars supporting cast on offense looked good. So I think we have many huge weeks from DJ Chark incoming, and I'm not going to panic just because he only had 26 yards in week one.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think the fact that Gardner Minshew came out and in his second year, like, looked comfortable, was moving the ball well, was 19 for 20 and for 173 yards and three touchdowns. Like, it just, like you said, Clark, the Jags offense under Jay Gruden just looked like they knew what they were doing. Like, it looked like they had a plan. And so I would trust them to be able to roll that out on some days, but also on other days when they're down a lot or the plan's not working, like what you said. Oh, DJ Chark's one-on-one. Let's just bomb it to him. So I, as long as this offense is looking functioning and Gardner Minshew continues to look smart with the football, I have no worry in DJ Chark performing fantasy-wise moving forward.
I feel similarly. I think it's noteworthy to point out that his, although he only had 25 yards, he also did post a touchdown. And he did so, it was from the line scrimmage with the six-yard line. So we like to see that when they're in the red zone, one of his primary reads is still Chark, and he, they hooked up. So yeah, what he finished 10, 11 points in fantasy. Like that's totally A-okay for where we drafted him.
I just really wanted an excuse to talk about the Jaguars, who I shit on all the time. And after watching them play what I think is going to end up being a good defense with a good offense and a divisional opponent and look so good, the Jaguars are going to have, I think, a surprisingly good year. James Robinson, who came out of nowhere, looked very fast and very quick. And Laviska Shenault looks like he's bigger than everybody else that he's playing against. Like, it's pretty exciting times for the Jaguars after week one.
Yeah, we'll talk some Shenaulty, some Nick Shenaulty. Get the Nick Nolte reference. Well done by me. We'll talk about him later. Nick, wrap up the panic index.
Yeah. I'm going to narrative street the shit out of this. So yes! last year, George Kittle suffered a hyperextended knee. He told reporters, quote, that he feels fantastic, and he ended up with a patellar tendon sprain and cost him a bunch of games. Week one of this year, he hyperextends the other knee, tells a reporter he feels fantastic. What's coming next? Missing a couple games. Information is like really only just coming out an hour or two before we started recording this show, but they've confirmed that he does have a sprain. All I can think is, okay, is the exact same injury mechanism. I think the fear is that it would be a sprained patellar tendon. A sprain is a teeny tiny tear. We know from watching like Jimmy Graham, a patellar tendon tear, if you actually tear that, it is devastating, and especially for a tight end. So that's a silly point. It's devastating for anybody, but a big body guy, it's going to be a lot harder. Anyway, Kittle, if he actually does have a little sprain on the patellar tendon, that's not something that they can take a chance with, and I am concerned that he will miss time, if not, you know, multiple weeks, at least week two. But on the plus side, I do think that Jordan Reed is like a totally viable tight end one streaming option.
Yeah, the Niners were one of the more surprising things that looked absolutely terrible. But again, we kind of telegraphed they have no wide receivers. And we knew that, and that's not a surprise, but they looked like they had no wide receivers. And with George Kittle out, I mean, Kyle Juszczyk was out there catching balls and, you know, being an effective asset in the passing game. And that's cute and everything, and it's nice to be able to do it. But you really do not want to rely on your fullback to be a major part of your passing game. So Niners are going to have to put all four of those running backs to work if they're going to get through the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, they did mention that Mohamed Sanu might be an option. because
Shanny
Debo. Well, yeah, because he Shanahan does know him because they coached together, or he coached Sanu. But Debo did. He said he did suffer a setback.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure Bill O'Brien would give up Brandon Cooks if the Niners took a first round pick too.
But what if they traded Tevin Coleman?
Bill like, there's wide receiver Tevin. Talent out there, right?
Tevin Coleman for Brandon Cooks. Bill O'Brien says yes.
Kyle Shanahan. He wants to move in with Tevin Coleman. He's not going to let him go somewhere else.
All right, Jared McKinnon has one good game, and now he's going for Brandon Cooks.
But how about Mostert? I feel like that was a miss for me. Mostert's obviously the starter and looked really good.
Yeah,
like, he did. I may be the last person to this party, but
I'm a little upset. I have no shares of him.
I was wrong. Mostert is good, and he's the starter.
All right. I'm going to change your minds in 30 seconds.
Yes. Special edition panic index.
It's simply the opposite
of the panic index.
Tevin Coleman has sickle cell. And in the Santa Clara air, it didn't quite get to like toxic for everybody levels, but he was questionable as to whether or not he was going to be able to play because of the sickle cell trait. I'm really liking, honestly, all of the San Francisco backs as they go to New York this week. It's terrible defense, so they're in a really good situation. I agree that Raheem Mostert is still the lead back, but I think that Tevin Coleman is going to get double, if not more, touches than he got in week one.
Saucy. I like it.
Good. And how insulting is it that going to New York, unless you mean Buffalo, is like, yeah, start him. Start everybody.
George Kittle, please stay healthy.
Yeah, how do you let Emmanuel Sanders go? Anyway.
Not great. All right, well, we're going to talk week one waiver wire. Talk some week one waiver wire ads. But before we do, we're going to take a quick ad break. All right, we are back. And now that we've seen actual football, now it is time to dive into those waiver wires, dive into, you know, figuring out who is the perfect player to be adding to your squad. Where is the hole in your roster that you need to fill? We've already touched on two guys who I think are must gets, and that's Nyheim Hines and Dallas Goedert, especially if you are someone who has been plagued by a tight end injury. I mean, George Kittle, I just talked about that. Maybe I got to go get Dallas Goedert to back up George Kittle on my roster. We shall see. Nick, we'll start with you. Who is a top waiver wire target for you?
Top football player.
A top football player from a football team for you.
So just touting my preview series from this summer and training camp, Malcolm Brown. He was always kind of an overlooked piece of this backfield as far as the drafting public was concerned. And I didn't really understand it. Cam Akers is obviously an outstanding athlete. He's very fun to watch. The same is true of Darrell Henderson, but you know, Henderson, but both of those guys came from, I'm going to get the schemes wrong, but they came from very different schemes than what the Rams want to, than what the Rams use. And Malcolm Brown was kept. I'm just looking it up here. They put, I think it was a second round tender on him when I think it was Detroit tried to sign him away in the offseason. Like they showed us that they did not want to let Malcolm Brown go. That's not a small amount of money that they paid him. And they blocked another team from paying him. Akers got the start, but Brown, I mean, you know, box scores can lie here and there, but Brown pretty sufficiently outrushed him, doubled his rushing totals and added three catches for 31 yards in the passing game. So I do think that Cam Akers will be a threat to take over as the season progresses and Akers is able to adjust and learn the new scheme and all that. But for right now, I think in Yahoo leagues, Malcolm Brown is owning like 25% of leagues or something. You've got like an 18 touch running back in this guy. So he needs to be added.
So yeah, I liked what we saw out of Brown, even though I'm a huge Akers truther. I have some shares of Malcolm Brown because he was free. And why wouldn't you hedge, you know, making a big swing like that? I like the note that you said, you know, sometimes box scores lie. Box scores lie all the time. But Akers looked like a hesitant rookie, and Malcolm Brown looked like he just knew what he was doing out there. And he took full advantage of getting the touches and the hot hand approach, and looked really good against a Dallas team that I think is, you know, they said this in the broadcast a million times, but I agree. They are set up to play against the pass more frequently, and the Rams' offensive line looks like it's, again, decent. So Brown took full advantage. I think he's a great pickup, and until you see Akers wrest that start back from him, I think Malcolm Brown's going to – why wouldn't you let him keep doing it until he proves that he can't do it anymore?
So. Right. And this is – and we – Sean McVay's offense, like – Todd Gurley, who everyone is paranoid about his knees and loves the fact that he's injured and broken and can't walk anymore, scored 14 total touchdowns last year. So like Malcolm Brown, if he is that starting back for the Rams for the entire year or even for the next couple of weeks, like that's, I would say that firmly puts him in RB2 territory with the potential of, you know, having RB1 weeks from here to there. So if you can get that off waivers for free, 100% go do that. Clark, who are you looking to add off waivers this week?
So I've got a couple. One that's kind of cheating. Devontae Parker went out with, a hamstring injury, and the Dolphins' offense was kind of cooking a la how Ryan Fitzpatrick cooked. And so Preston Williams is only owned in about 38% of Yahoo leagues. But for a little bit of a deeper cut, we've got Joshua Kelly from the Chargers, who looked really good with Justin Jackson out and behind Austin Eckler. I think that the Chargers are going to be very boring, and so there's going to be plenty of room for two running backs to make it. So if you think that Austin Eckler is a little bit too small, or if you think they're going to look for a thunder and lightning combination, Joshua Kelly looked really good against, granted, a very bad, and quote me on this, very bad for the entire season, Bengals squad.
The same Bengals squad that's going to get Odell Beckham back on the racehorse.
Yeah, 12% yeah, for Joshua Kelly, so deep cut.
So what we kind of like really love about Kelly is fantasy football is a game of like 2-3 weeks at a time, and the next two games are against Kansas City and Carolina. Kansas City invites opposing offenses
actively
to run
wants you
them.
To run on them.
Yeah, so you can just, you know, run your way to a loss while they run up the scoreboard. Carolina, I mean, there's a reason I mean, we should get into the Josh Jacobs stuff at some point here, but
yeah.
Carolina's defense is
god awful. I have no shares of him.
It is, well, again, we have to table this or else it's going to get hot and spicy. but Carolina Panthers, their defense is just, it's just terrible. They had to spend 7 picks on rookies. They spent all of their rookie draft picks on defensive players for a reason. Offenses are going to pulverize these guys all season long. So Josh Kelly, if we can get, you know, use our week one waiver ad for like a flex / RB2 that we can just set for 2 weeks and forget about it. By all means, let's do that.
Especially since we saw last year, like the Chargers offense can support, at least what we saw last year, can support two fantasy viable running backs. Austin Eckler obviously had a huge year last year, but when Melvin Gordon came back, you know, he still scored, I think like 10 touchdowns or 8 touchdowns. And so like if Joshua Kelly has locked up that second back gig, then I think that this offense certainly can support the two.
He's a game away from it. He looked really good, yeah. And he shouldn't have played yesterday because Justin Jackson was ahead of him. Mm-hmm. But if he comes out and does that again, he will be the number two.
I would like to quickly though, Anthony Lynn. I know Anthony Lynn has addressed this already, but as an avid listener to the podcast, if you could not build your game plan around not giving your best offensive weapon the ball in space, that would be great. Let's just start targeting Austin Eckler a little bit more in the passing game. You know, let's give him at least more than a catch. Just throwing it out there, Anthony. Take my advice, whatever. Let's try to get Austin Eckler a little bit more involved in the passing game next week.
It's going to be a tough year for the Chargers. That they had to count on country music star Randy Bullock missing a field goal at the end of the game to win. It's, oh boy.
Also,
hope they enjoy this one.
Did you see Joe Burrow's face after that? That is the face of a man who's just realized how cursed the Bengals organization is and what his next 5 years are going to look like.
Yeah.
Welcome to the big leagues, Joe. All right.
Randy Bullock, everyone.
My waiver wire ad.
Of Texans fame.
Yeah.
I know that. Who he is. Yeah. I mean, good for him. Like, yeah, whatever. I don't like being mean. That was fun.
That was fun.
I went radio silent yesterday and then watched all the games on Game Pass. And so I could fast forward through all of the everything other than the football. It was majestic.
Yeah. That's the way to watch. I feel like is just to be able to like have the little fast forward zoomy thing. Oh, look who's charging down the stairs. All right.
He's coming hot.
Oh yeah. Bert doesn't go anywhere easily. He's comes just careening down. We had to teach him because our apartment doesn't have stairs. So he didn't really know what stairs were or how to handle them until he came here. So now he just takes them head of steam. If he wipes out, he wipes out. But he does it looking good. All right, my waiver ad this week. We talked about LaVisca Chenault, obviously, earlier in the podcast, but also way back in our AFC, what are they, South preview, where I used to talk about him as a potential sleeper. This offense, we said it before, it looks good. It looks like it's able to at least have a plan. And the thing that I liked the most about what we saw from it was the fact that LaVisca Chenault was used in all the different ways that we had spoken about. He had 2 carries for 10 yards and 3 catches for 37 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, those numbers aren't like mind-blowing, but the fact that he was seeing both work in the ground game and also as a receiver, like that is something that I am 100% here for. And I think that's what his niche is going to be in this Jaguars offense, is kind of like a gadgety player, as well as he could emerge. He has certainly the talent on the field to emerge as that number 2 wide receiver next to DJ Chark.
Yeah, he looked like a wide receiver to me. He looked like a big guy. And I know that, like with DJ Chark, these yardage totals aren't big, but I think Minshew only had like 180 yards. Yep. It was a slow game. They ran the ball really effectively. And, if it wasn't for a couple of huge Phillip Rivers interceptions, they probably lose this game. But like you said, they had a plan. They looked smart. And they looked like they... You said that they use Chenault as kind of a gadget player, and technically they did, but it didn't seem like that when you're watching the game. It just seemed like he was the second wide receiver, and then he was all over the place, and then he looked good.
Yeah, I think he's what I didn't get to draft in Jalen Hurd, which is the team's starting slot receiver, who also just gets tricky-ass goal line carries, which just pushes him over the edge.
Jay Gruden was scheming it up on the goal line yesterday. I got to give credit. That was
J.J. Grugru. That's his new nickname. That's what people in the know call him, JJ Grugru.
We do not. 2 out of 3 people appear to not endorse this nickname.
Nick is loving it. What do you mean? Nick is 100% here for JJ Grugru.
Move on. This is dog pee.
I have a boring waiver ad. Are we all? Yeah. This is gross, and I'm sorry. Okay. Frank Gore is going to get a lot of volume next.
Gore never fucking dies.
So I don't think he is. I think he's going to split it with Josh Adams.
Okay, we'll see. Okay. Talk about coaches wanting to live with running backs that they keep bringing along. I mean,
no, I prior to like Josh Adams out touching him, I would have thought the same thing. But now I don't know. Either way, we all hope that you did not listen to us, dear listeners, or that you listened to us, dear listeners, and did not touch Le'Veon Bell, no matter how far he fell.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, who looked great running routes out of the backfield before he hurt his hamstring, and like the irony of ironies, tweeting my hamstrings are fine only to the
hamstring. Well, that's the thing. I don't even know if I can trust Gase. Like, is Bell hurt? I think he is.
Who knows anything?
I put the over under at what, 8.5 games?
For Gase? Yeah, Gase isn't lasting to Halloween. I'll tell you that much.
But why? And why would it? Like, why?
Why? He's garbage. Absolute trash.
And Jamison Crowder's big touchdown catch was a screen, by the way.
Trash. Also, Jamison Crowder, who had like 17 targets or whatever his number
was. Yeah, was it you, Nick, that was like, this is still going to be a thing? Yeah, whoever
said that. Yeah, I've been pushing strictly in the majority of leagues that award anything for a reception. Yeah, he was a must 100% at his ADP. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start it. Let's make points per target a cool thing. Should we make that a cool league? Jameson Crowder goes 101.
Yeah, wide receiver 2.
I just want to talk about the games for like 2 hours, but go. I guess we don't have time for that.
Clark, this is our podcast. We can do whatever we want. Make the people listen to 2 hours of you.
Zero surprising things from the Seahawks and Falcons. We were totally right that Matt Ryan's going to throw for like 4,000 yards, and then all of the wide receivers good. Chris Carson getting work as a receiver is like
love it, love to see it, tantalizing, love to see it.
Yeah. I'm going to try to keep this short, but the amount of people who have contacted me from Seattle to be like, dude, finally let Russ cook. One, fuck you, Pete Carroll. This is 10 years too late. I'm not giving you any credit.
Never going to be happy. Check.
Never going to be happy. But two, was it the script? Was it the scripted plays? I don't know. And if it goes south in one game, I am not confident that Pete Carroll will not just go right back to like, all right, Carson, Carlos Hyde, 30 carries. Let's go.
Let's do this.
No faith in this.
I saw Carlos Hyde get a handoff and hit the hole really hard. And I was like, oh no, Nick's going to be so upset.
Oh, bad.
Jamal Williams is going to be a thorn in the side for Aaron Jones owners all season. On high leverage, we need the running back to do something other than hit the hole plays. Jamal Williams was in there a lot of the times. But Aaron Jones was there on the goal line. So
also, Devonta Parker. Holy mother of God.
Jamal Williams is one of my favorite players. Like, I don't know a lot of football players that make, like, Child's Disney movies references during their interviews frequently, but Jamal Williams does.
He's got that on lockdown. Also, I think the Aaron Rodgers FU season is alive and well.
Oh, yep.
Four touchdowns, baby.
Yeah.
Suck your running game.
This is going to be fun because there's going to be – so Seahawks, Packers, and Raiders are all things that, like, it is Nick versus the podcast on, and this is going to get really, really interesting.
Wait, the Raiders are not for real. Do you think they're for real?
No, but just Josh Jackson and
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs.
I didn't say he's not good. I think he's very good.
Nick said he's trash.
But that's right. Yeah, no, it's the same thing as I hate Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, my God. So much. Nick despises Larry Fitzgerald.
I just can't stand him. Jacobs, the carousel of receiving backs they had going in there. I put Jacobs as like the running back six for a reason last week and just told people sell high. I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if he keeps the passing game work. Go ahead.
The Panthers are not good. I just think that Josh Jacobs is good. This may be a high watermark. I just think that he's a solid player. If you could parlay Josh Jacobs into Julio or something like that, if someone just really is in love with him, I'd cut him loose. But it was fun to watch him play against a wretched Panthers defense.
Agreed. I'm still not certain that he actually has the passing game role locked up. And two, I mean, if you guys look at this schedule, like New Orleans, New England, Buffalo, okay, he gets Kansas City, then he goes on bye, then it's back to Tampa Bay. Like,
that's rough.
These next like 6 weeks are going to be really tough. And if we look at last year, he had 7 TDs in wins and 0 in losses. And unless they actually do what I would love for them to do, is commit to him in the passing game. This could be a second round pick that you were not getting a lot of stuff from.
Yeah, and to take a second to talk about New Orleans and Tampa Bay, since I don't think we talked about them a lot. I think Tom Brady's going to be fine, and I'm panic index extra credit. Mike Evans, oh boy. You know how Tom Brady just decides that you're not going to be a part of the offense anymore?
When Mike you Evans don't run the route that you're supposed to run and he throws an interception, yeah, that's how it happens.
I hope that they have a quiche together and get through it, but not a good first week for Mike Evans.
Quickly, before we go, just because Jordan's not here, Scotty Miller is everyone. How about Scotty fucking so Miller? Fun. Scotty Miller is a thing, so go add him off waivers.
And Jordan was right for all the right reasons. He was open. He was running the little routes that when Brady is under pressure, he wants to go to the guy to where he knows where he's going to be. Godwin was getting work, and I think I was wrong about him. He's going to have a huge year because Brady has eyes for him. But Scotty Miller, man. Jordan,
Scotty Miller.
I don't know if anyone who was talking about Scotty Miller in June like our boy Jordan was.
Jordan was talking about Scotty Miller like last year. He was like super deep dynasty ad at the end when everyone was getting injured. When Breshad Perriman got injured for the Bucks, Jordan was like, you know, this Scotty Miller guy.
Yeah.
Is the fear here that Scotty is going to like edge out Mike Evans?
Mike Evans is on the trade block.
So break it down, Clark.
That he'll remain the wide receiver 3 and Evans has like a really destructive, falling out with the team year as the wide receiver one that gets just no stats. Just, and he's off the team next year. That, not because he's not good, but because, I mean, so it's 1 week. You don't want to overreact, but it's not just because they said it on the broadcast. It's because it's what happened. Mike Evans just decided to stop on a route and it was a pick because he just decided to stop. And Brady looks and 4 years younger this year, by the way.
Yeah.
But looked very upset. That
I didn't recognize him.
He looked good. That Tampa sun, he's doing great things for his skin.
I want to eat that. but then he had some mistakes, you know, later in the game. Like, I think he got a big penalty or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
sack fumble.
I will not argue that Brady is like the greatest person in the world, whatever. But like, if Tom Brady does not like you, he has a major say in whether or not you're going to get the football as the quarterback. And he has frozen people out before. So I hope that they're able to get over it. I think Mike Evans is a good football player, but another week of this. Oh boy.
Ooh, I don't know. Mike Evans headlining the panic index. There's the lead.
I like
that's
how you get the
people
positive,
listening.
But
yeah, that's how you get the people clicking. Yeah. All right. Well, that's
really
all
just looked quick. And he was just getting good passes. And he had a down the field shot too. So
yeah. Scotty Miller. All right, that's all we got for you this week. It was all kinds of chaos, but that's what week one is all about, baby. It's all about accepting it and loving that chaos, welcoming it, letting it into your home like it's a vampire and it has to be invited. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That is how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and basketball podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up with any fantasy questions you've got. We'd love to interact. You can follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark. And Nick, you can follow at Ginger_Nick without a K. We will be back at you Thursday for starts and sits. Until then, peace.